It's time to fire it up.
Why you gotta make me feel inferior? Because I'm on the grill, B.
From the chow.
Food for action.
To the gear.
It's 122,000 BTUs of char broiling power.
To the drinks.
Drink some beers.
These guys have you covered.
We're just kicking back out here. Just having a barbecue.
This is the Grilling Guys.
Welcome to the Grilling Guys. It's the weekend, and it's the smokiest show on the radio. Jop's gone again. He's turning into a bum. And I'm being joined by our very famous now sponsor, Tim Sobey from Sobey Meats.
How you doing today, Bob? Thanks for letting me be here.
Hey, it's always fun when you're here because, number one, you bring meat.
Oh, absolutely. No tofu sticks this time.
Oh, there's a volley going over towards Jop's head.
Yeah.
He's famous for tofu. And Tim brought some of his most excellent hot sticks, and I love these things. I don't normally buy them because when I bring them home, like my wife won't eat hot. And when you come in here, Jop doesn't like hot either. So since he was gone, I said, if you're going to bring anything, bring hot sticks.
It's Bob Treat Day today.
It is. It's like my birthday. Hey, so anyway, welcome to the Grilling Guys. Check us out on thegrillingguys.com. You can get recipes. You can get links to all of our sponsors, such as Sobey Meats. If you need some gifts, you've got Thermopen, you've got Garrett's Appliance, you've got all kinds of places that sell great grilling things. And yeah, just do that. So we're going to talk about the state of beef.
The state of beef is a great state to be part of.
I'm eating one of these hot sticks, so pardon me if I'm sounding like a pig here. Sound like a cow instead. So tell us what's going on in the beef market.
Well, it's going the wrong direction price-wise. It's all taken off. Actually, all meats are. So that's unfortunate.
Why is that?
It's a host of things, and yeah, we can throw everything under the bus with the COVID, but truly that gets to the whole crux of it. And I don't know if you ever heard of a little shop called Tyson Foods. You ever hear of them?
Oh, yeah.
So last week, they made it mandatory that all of their employees had to get the vaccine.
Oh,
and only one plant of all the plants they have between beef, pork, and chicken, 235 people walked out and said, uh-uh, we ain't doing it.
Good for them.
So there again, there's a people shortage, right?
We'll buy some different chicken.
Yep. Well, but that's affecting all the way down a pipeline. So now Tyson isn't producing enough, puts pressure on the other one. So it's all that, just that leveling out of everything. And manpower is just a huge part of the whole thing, right?
You know, I'm in the airline business. I sell commercial airplanes, pre-owned Airbus and Boeing equipment, landing gear, whole planes. And so I'm close to a lot of the carriers. Delta, United, American are the big ones. So Delta, American, and Southwest just came out 2 days ago and said, we're no longer going to require our employees to get the jab because so many of them are saying, hey, I'll quit. And they're like, holy cow, we won't have a company.
Yeah.
You can't force people to make a medical decision. I am getting ready to go to my hometown of Reed City, Michigan next weekend. They have a big celebration up there. It's where US 10 and 131 cross in Michigan. So they call it the Crossroads. And then they have a festival every year called the Crossroads Festival.
Nice.
And I like to go up every year and do that because they turn the whole downtown into a party. There's a great little microbrewery. We've had him on here, Reed City Brewing. The kid, Kevin Murphy, he builds a beautiful beer, a bunch of them. He's done so well. I'm so proud of him. And then there's a couple of nicer restaurants or bar restaurants downtown. And they'll have the street closed off. And, you know, I get to run into old classmates that I don't see once every couple of years or 10 years. And so I'm looking forward to that. And I talked my wife into going this year, which she normally doesn't. And I don't think there's a hotel in town. So we have this cool little park in town that we used to call the tourist park. It's on the north end of town. And it's just beautiful. There's probably 30 campsites. So I called the lady up at like 10:30 at night, and she answered. And she remembered my last name, and she says, yeah, I'll get you a spot. I'll give you a, you know, lot number, whatever. And so we're going to bring our new pop-up Coleman tent.
Nice.
And air mattress. We got this big, beautiful, deluxe king-size mattress. And we're going to be able to walk back to the park.
How beautiful is that? God bless America.
Because the cops all there, well, they're all different cops now, but the other ones all knew me. So
yeah.
Back then, they just scolded you and sent you home. But we don't take those chances now. So that's going to be a lot of fun.
Bring some extra meat sticks for the cops to escort
hey,
you to your tent.
Hey, that's a great idea.
You know, they're going to need something
great
to nibble
idea.
On.
How about a nice hot meat stick?
Yeah.
And, you know, bow season's coming up.
Yep.
You've been working on your blinds?
I got a couple trees to clean out before we get the new ones up. But, man, we had a different buck come in just the other night. Holy crap balls, is he gorgeous. We've never seen him before. Even other years, the look of his rack, it almost looks, the closest I would say is like a really nice muley. If
wow.
you have like a 4x4,
wow.
but he's got brow tines. So really wide and high with doubles. Oh, man, is he pretty.
Big beefy six.
Yeah.
I'll take it.
Yeah.
You have it on trail cam?
Actually, on video. So, yes. I'll have to send you a clip of that.
I love it. The camera sent it right to your phone now.
Yeah.
I'll be at work and I'll get a little bloop. I got to stop and look.
Another trespasser.
Holy cow, 2 o'clock in the afternoon.
Get out of that food
and
plot.
And the velvet's on them right now, so they look really good. So I'll be heading up to Whipple Lake here in a couple weeks with the chainsaws, you know, clean some trees up. Got a lot of wind damage. I'm going to clear out a spot for a new camp. I bought a 16 by 20 expedition tent.
Nice.
But it didn't have a roof jack.
Oh, okay.
So I ordered a roof jack online, and I'm going to set that baby up next week in my backyard and cut a hole in it. And the manufacturer told me just to use shoe goo.
Really?
To put it on.
Okay.
So it's a canvas tent.
Yeah.
I think I'm going to try and find a way to waterproof it.
Yeah.
You know, a little Scotch guard.
Uh-huh.
And I'm excited.
Sure.
I love camping. We used to camp in army tents when I used to, back, you know, 30 years ago, and we'd go up around Alpena and Atlanta, Michigan. And just looking forward to it. Deer season gets me jacked every year.
It does, too.
But, hey, listen, we're the Grilling Guys. We're going to be right back, and we'll see you in a minute.
Hey, this is Job from the Grilling Guys, and I want to talk to you about my favorite butcher shop. It's Sobey Meats on the northwest side of Grand Rapids on Remembrance Road. This is a custom butcher. They'll cut any piece of meat that you want, any size, any way that you can dream of to make sure that your grilling experience is perfect. Sobey Meats smokes all their own meats. They've got kielbasas and over 40 different flavors of brats. You've got to try Sobey Meats on Remembrance Road. Tell them the Grilling Guys sent you.
Hey guys, Schmoes now has two locations, 2600 Patterson here in Grand Rapids and 109 West Mitchell in Petoskey now. So when you're up north, you can grab some Schmoes as well. Remember, you can get all your favorites, Bone Crusher, Hop Knocker, Treasure Chest, Amber Tees, Michigan Hands Pale Ale, and India Pale Ale, or one of our great root beers. Once again, that's Grand Rapids and Petoskey, engineering better Michigan beer.
Hi, this is Shasta with Old World Olive Company. I want to personally invite you to visit one of our tasting rooms and sample any one of our certified extra virgin olive oils or aged balsamic vinegars. My knowledgeable staff can show you hundreds of pairing combinations. We also offer seasonings, tapenades, and specialty wines to complete your meal. So please, step into my kitchen and make a lasting memory of your own. Or you can visit us at theoldworldoliveco.com.
Hey, it's Barbecue Bob. My wife and I recently built a new addition to our home and remade the kitchen. We went to Garrett's and picked out all of our products so that everything would fit in his space well. The selection was from best price to best quality, and the service was great. The delivery team was courteous and careful. Go to Garrett's Appliance, and while you're there, check out the huge selection of top brands of grills and smokers from North America. Garrett's Appliance, where families serve families. Garrett'sAppliance.com.
I am a guy and I like fire.
The Grilling Guys.
Hey, welcome back to the Grilling Guys. That's the meat stick version. This is Barbecue Bob. I'm sitting here with Tim Sobey from Sobey Meats. He brought in some nice hot beef sticks or meat sticks. What's in these things?
Beef and pork.
Oh, they're so good.
And a double heaping batch of love.
I love the love. The future's here, and you need to stock up. I'm a bit of a prepper. That's why I buy a cow at a time. What should people be thinking about? Let's talk about beef. If you wanted to stock up on beef right now, what would you point them towards?
If you're thinking about a Christmas or New Year's prime rib, you know, I hate to tell people, oh, go and stock up, you know, go get more toilet paper, you know, but that's the ugliest beef story in the industry right now.
Why is that?
Are ribeyes for Christmas. And they're
talking about a standing rib roast.
Yep, boneless or standing rib roast. So getting to Christmas, you could be paying upwards of $25 to $30 a pound.
Oh my gosh.
For a prime rib roast.
And it's typically like 16.
Yeah. Yep. So that's the worst thing right now of what's getting bargained or unbargained with. And all the big producers are going to hold out. And previously, you could pre-order in the summertime and book them ahead and get a good price. All bets are off this year. So they're just going to let it be just a raging wildfire on pricing. So in 1 week, they went up $2 a pound. So for meat items, that's huge.
Okay, stop there. Help us understand how that all works. How did we get to the point where we don't have enough beef?
Well, we have enough beef. That's the problem. So what's the price? That's, I'm going to call it gouging at this point, all right? Which that's going to get passed down to all the Sobey Meats of the world, is going to get passed on to the consumer. And actually, they kill about 625,000 head of beef a week. And this last week was 650. A little bit over, not huge, but they're killing enough animals. It's just one more thing. The big producers are trying to get how can we get a few more bucks out of every beef, right? So if
you mean like the Cargills of the world?
Yes. Yeah. So if we can save, I gave
Weren't
this
they on the Simpson movie?
Cargill were.
Wasn't that the big bang?
Yeah. And I gave this analogy to one of my nieces. I said, if you could make an extra dollar, you know, for one cut of meat. So for an example, there's a Terrace Major. We use that for a Sobey Sizzler. So you separate that out. If you get a buck a piece more, so $2 per head of cattle, kill 2,000 head in your facility a week, $4,000 times, you know, 52 weeks, run the numbers, just $2 a head more, that adds up a lot, right? Well, now what if you can get 10 bucks a head more, whatever that is? And that's kind of where we are with ribeyes right now, already looking forward to the Christmas season. I think it's just going to be kind of a gouging thing at that
point. So they're not necessarily having trouble processing the meat.
Correct.
Because that's what we've heard is they can actually process the number that they're normally processing.
Yes. Yep, they're getting that number out. And then now how can we squeeze a little bit more out of each head of cattle?
Okay, let's look at pork prices.
Yep. Those are jumping up also.
Same deal?
Yep. And there's out in California, our dear friends out there, you know, the tree huggers. So with pork, they're hitting certain standards where you have to have more space for the pigs to be in, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And that's going to be a huge price driver of pork in the industry as well. So all like pork butts now, you know, we're still in the season of barbecuing and grilling.
Right.
Ribs, all pork prices are going up.
What are pork butts going for right now?
Typically, if you're going to be paying probably close to a $2 mark.
Which isn't horrible.
Not horrible, no. But
still the best buy on meat in the world. I mean,
actually, the
barbecue.
Loin. Yeah, barbecue, yeah. And the loin is still such a great value. You don't lose much. Get a little creative with it to keep moisture in it. But that loin is great value meat.
Mm-hmm.
Bellies, you know, and that's one of the big drivers of pork.
What are bellies going for right now, pork belly?
Bellies were probably around a good $3 bill, well, is what we're paying.
Wow.
That's before you even start turning to brine them, smoke them, You know,
really?
Turn them into bacon. Oh. Yeah. So those have been inching up.
Wow. I just made some bacon a couple weeks ago, that pork belly I picked up from you, and it turned out so well. I'm so happy with it.
Good.
I love making bacon.
And Maureen loves it, too. She told me. You can't say that.
I can't get a thing by you. That's not her name. Okay, and then poultry. We heard about Tyson, so there goes the poultry world.
Yeah, and Tyson, I mean, they're involved in pork, beef, and chicken. So even what was
it? He was Bill Clinton's friend.
Yeah. What a great value before were the boneless, skinless thighs. And those are just pennies away from being as much as boneless, skinless breast right now. And that boneless thigh is such a great piece of meat because, you know, more moisture, more flavor in that dark meat anyway. They're flatter. They cook up. You do a million things with them. But it's the extra labor to bone out that thigh.
I buy a lot of those from you, especially for events.
Yeah.
They come in the 10-pound bags typically. The last event I did, I kind of overbought on purpose.
Yeah.
Because I wanted to throw some in the freezer. So I got my Seal-A-Meal thing out, and I split them up into nice little 3-pound packs, and I put about, I don't know, 15 or 20 of those packs in the freezer.
Yeah.
It's just nice to have because sometimes somebody will drop in or whatever, and you just want to throw something on the grill. That's a fail-safe piece of meat.
Yep.
You can thaw those out, marinate them. Like I made up Maureen's, believe it or not, my wife's gone this weekend, so I had to get her prepared to go.
Yeah.
And so she wanted to make shish kebabs, chicken shish kebabs. So I made her up a nice marinade recipe, and she asked me how long to marinate them. Before I tell you how long, I told her, if you were going to marinate skinless, boneless chicken thighs that you're cutting up into little 1-inch, 2-inch chunks, how long would you marinate them?
I'd give them at least an hour.
That's all?
No, I'd give more, but I would give them at least an hour. So if it
how long would you do it for?
I'd probably give them at least a half a day, probably overnight. Yep,
that's what
I would do.
That's what I told her.
I'd give them overnight.
Because that's such a safe meat.
Yeah.
It's got so much, I don't know, it doesn't absorb the brine like or the marinade like a lot of other meats do. So
the other beauty of that is, you know, smoking or grilling, whatever you're doing to prepare it, even if you do extra, take your leftovers, pop those in the freezer for a short period of time. You know, we've been over that many, many times on the show. But now what are we going to have for supper tonight? They're so versatile. You could just put them on salad, get a hot, muggy day, or it's a colder day. You could put them, add that into like chicken
after
fajitas.
After they've been marinated?
After even cooked. So now you just...
Oh, cooked, yeah.
Yeah.
I don't like freezing meat if it's marinated.
Correct, yeah.
It tends to really change the profile. I don't know. That's just me, but yeah. What do you think about that?
Yeah, it does. I mean, as we know, fresh is always better,
yeah.
Right?
All right. Well, we blew through that, and I think we're covering the grounds I wanted to. We come back, we're going to talk about a little bit of seafood, and even though you're such a beef guy, I know you know a lot about those two-eyed creatures that swim, so we'll be right back.
Fenn Valley Vineyards, located on the shores of Lake Michigan in Fennville, Michigan, 45 minutes south of Grand Rapids. It's one of the most beautiful, most picturesque vineyards in North America. This family's been making wine for over 40 years. You have to bring your friends and family to the tasting room and experience pure Michigan wine, Fenn Valley Vineyards.
Hey, when's the last time you had a really great root beer float? I mean the kind that makes you remember walks with your grandfather. Come on over to Schmoe's Brewing Company in Grand Rapids or Petoskey, and we have some handcrafted root beer, probably the best in the state of Michigan. That's 2600 Patterson in Grand Rapids or 109 West Mitchell in Petoskey. You know you're dying for a good root beer float.
And now, back to the Grillin' Guys Show.
With the Grillin' Guys coming at you like a pit bull. We smoke butt, and it's a mittful. Shooting sauce on ribs is what men do. We like meat, and no tofu. With me and Chop, it never gets dull. The grill's so big, it's like a ship's hull. Grilling guys, I tell no lies. Do some great things to chicken thighs. When we're at the grill, smoking up a rack, a little taste is just like crack. We're backyard masters, barbecue blasters. Nobody grills a T-bone faster. So when you see the Grilling Guys rig, hit the brakes, it's gonna be big. So check us out and have no doubt, the Grilling Guys will make the crowd shout. Stick around and put down the rake, fire up the grill, there's no need to bake. You bring the party, we'll bring the smoke. You're gonna eat so much you might choke. So here's how it goes, and everyone knows, you gotta listen to the Grilling Guys show. That's it.
Welcome back. It's the Grilling Guys. It is the smokiest show on the airwaves, and we're going to try and keep it that way. We're talking with Tim Sobey because Randy Joppy is he's missing in action. So Tim's filling in his shoes and doing a great job of it. Let's talk a little bit about seafood.
So seafood price for a long time, as we were covering, you know, with beef, pork, and chicken prices going up, was a great value hanging in there. But now the industry is catching up to it, and seafood prices are taking off also.
Really?
Yeah. So shipping costs have gone from 7 to 11 cents a pound to 65 cents a pound. That's huge. You know, you start adding that on, and then you add that on, put retail markups onto that. That's just huge. You know, you're looking at maybe $1, $1.50 a pound more in some cases. And there's still a lot of good seafood to get. The Great Lakes, have you had the Zander Pike before?
No.
That's one.
It's a pike?
Yeah, it's in the pike family. They'll call it Zander Pike Perch.
Oh.
So if it was on the plate, it looks like a jumbo yellow perch, has the stripes in it, but it's in that, you know, pike perch.
Easy for you to say.
Yeah. Say it five times. But what a great value. And actually, a lot of restaurants, you may have had it, didn't realize you might have ordered the perch dinner, and that's what you had was that Zander. But it, just like regular perch, it's flavorful, it's succulent, mild, sweet fish. And that has taken a huge, huge jump in
popularity.
In popularity, mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because it's still a deal.
Yep, yep.
What about whitefish, Michigan whitefish?
Whitefish, there again, you know, they're kind of touch and go a little bit, what they're allowing to harvest. So they're watching those numbers a little bit closer and trying to have limits to not overfish. So it's a good news, bad news thing. But me, it's more good news because I think it's wise that we don't overfish things, right? And if we had to take a couple of years and really back off and go without eating something else, then there's always cod, you know, not the best fish, of course. But
not bad.
Yeah.
That's what you get in every Irish pub you go to and get fish and chips.
Yeah, is cod, yeah.
And I've never
World's
walked away.
Most popular fish there is cod.
What a terrible thing to be.
Yeah.
Everybody loves me.
Everybody wants you.
So let's talk about it as I chew on this meat stick. Yes, that's number three. Affordable cuts. Let's say I'm a prepper, and I am. So everything costs more. I've got to really watch what I spend.
Yeah.
What's an affordable cut I could bank on still?
So probably the most affordable cut right now, it's not the best, but if you're budget watching, is a ball tip sizzler. So that part of the sirloin, you know, it's not my fave.
Not the worst.
It's not the worst. And it's not, you're still eating way better than like round steak. And
right.
Believe me, through the years, we've done that before in our household where
Tommy and Johnny Brand made a fortune on ball tip.
Yes, they have. So there's nothing wrong with the ball tip. And that's the best value right now. And another one, and you know, I'm a huge lover of sirloin. So if you get either
that's my favorite piece.
Yeah, that in like a local sirloin, there's only so many out of cattle, but we've talked about the American Wagyu that we get them from. We got them standing in line now. Their cuts sometimes are sold before we get them off the animal.
Really?
But next to that would be...
It's like Godfather.
It is too. Would be that boneless sirloin, so that top sirloin. And it's a great value.
What's the most tender piece of sirloin?
Well, that would be... Well, on the bone-in, it'd be the filet. That's part of that bone-in. Oh. Other than that, then on the top sirloin, then that would be the next one.
Okay.
So that's more tender than a ball
tip. And
they
vary quite a bit, honestly. Depending on where you get them, What would you look for in a sirloin, since that's such a value piece?
Yeah.
It's still the affordable steak.
Yeah.
What would you look for in sirloin to say, yep, yeah, that's the piece I want?
Like anything else, it'd be the marbling. But yeah.
But on a top piece.
But on a top piece, you know, there's still marbling, you know, within your quality cattle.
Just not so much.
Yeah, not as much as like a ribeye or a strip loin. But there's still marbling in there. But the beauty of the sirloin, they're tender, they're flavorful, they're affordable, and they're so versatile. So even if you do...
That's a lot of tills.
Yeah, yeah. And so it really is a great all-around. You don't have to marinate them. As I say, they're standalone.
No, you shouldn't marinate them.
They're a standalone steak.
Unless you're doing shish kebab and you want a profile, but... And that's my go-to piece for shish kebab.
Yeah.
I mean, it's because when I do shish kebab, I do generally a bunch of them, and I can't afford to do, like, porterhouse or something like that.
Sure. Like beef stroganoff and things like that. Back in the days, like fondue, that's kind of like the go-to piece.
Was it?
Yeah, for something like that.
That was a lot of fun.
Oh, yeah.
That's a 70s thing. I think there was probably a bong on the table.
We still had one got from Teresa's grandparents, avocado green, no, baby.
Yeah. Bong or fondue?
Oh, that was a fondue.
Yeah, I still am trying to adjust to the whole the whole legality, and it's not in every state.
Well, we teased about this before is our medical pot brats. I was going to put pot in there, and the more you eat, the more you want to eat. And it was actually April Fool's a few years back, and it was on a Monday, and we were doing some cooking, and we were doing a couple of videos. And then I called our Walker police and I said, hey, you know my sense of humor. I'm thinking I'm doing an April Fool's joke. You know, so we'd say, hey, we're cooking medical pot brats at Sobey Meats and this whole thing. And the chief of police.
Raided.
Oh, well, then he said, you know, Tim, we know your sense of humor. We think it's funny, but that's all we need is that customer now just to go bonkers. And, oh, my God, what are you doing? And so we pulled the plug on that.
Well, in my little town.
Simple little thing.
My little town, we've got, I think, a record number of medical marijuana stores there or coming in. And the first one that came in is right next to the Taco Bell, which is perfect.
Yes.
And then right across the street, there's a trailer park. So they've got like this triangle that they walk. They come out of the park, go to the pot store, go to Taco Bell, back to the trailer park.
The closer they get to the park after the pot shop, the more staggered the trail gets, does it weave and wobble a little bit?
I would imagine, but... We just kind of think that's funny to have a Taco Bell next to a weed shop. Okay, so sirloin's a good affordable cut. If you're prepping for the winter, because that's when you probably shop a little bit less and you like to have stock because family's coming over, holidays, yada, yada. What else would be an affordable meat cut in general? Poultry, beef, pork, pterodactyl, whatever.
Pork loin and pork tenderloin. And pork tenderloin is another one. Great, great price point for what you're getting. Very versatile. Doesn't take up a lot of room. It's a smaller amount to pull out of the freezer anyway. Right. So those would be two of the best cuts to use. And
what would you use a tenderloin, pork tenderloin for?
I like to do those as just with medallions. So I'll either do like a stir fry. Or I'll even take those little medallions and I'll just kind of grill them up. The other one...
And you can actually kind of cook those to a more well done if you like to, and they won't be so dry.
Correct. But don't ever think of bacon wrapping them and then even throwing them in the oven.
Not
you get
kosher.
One of them. That one of those snow days or, you know, snowy, rainy days.
When you came back from the weed shop?
Yeah. Wrap them up, throw them in the oven, take about... 30 minutes, boom, you're eating.
All right. I won't think of that. But when you come back, we're going to talk about something to pull out of the freezer. We'll be back.
Hey, this is Job from the Grilling Guys, and I want to talk to you about my favorite butcher shop. It's Sobey Meats on the northwest side of Grand Rapids on Remembrance Road. This is a custom butcher. They'll cut any piece of meat that you want, any size, any way that you can dream of to make sure that your grilling experience is perfect. Sobey Meats smokes all their own meats. They've got kielbasas and over 40 different flavors of brats. You got to try Sobey Meats on Remembrance Road. Tell them the Grilling Guys sent you.
Hey, it's Barbecue Bob. My wife and I recently built a new addition to our home and remade the kitchen. We went to Garrett's and picked out all of our products so that everything would fit in his space well. The selection was from best price to best quality, and the service was great. The delivery team was courteous and careful. Go to Garrett's Appliance, and while you're there, check out the huge selection of top brands of grills and smokers from North America. Garrett's Appliance, where families serve families. Garrett'sAppliance.com.
And now, back to the Grillin' Guys Show.
Hey, welcome back. It's the Grillin' Guys. And we're happy to be talking to you this weekend. We've got Tim Sobey filling in for Jop, who is, I think, getting ready for a wedding. I think he's got one of his stepsons getting married next weekend, and he's probably, I'd imagine he's vacuuming his car. I don't know.
The back seat. You can't say
you don't miss a thing. Okay. So let's say this time of year, if you're like many of us who are getting all excited about deer season coming up, and you still got a little venison in the freezer, number one, I want to make some jerky because I just bought a smoker or whatever the story is.
Yep.
Or number two, I've just got so much of it I got to get rid of because I know I'm going to fill it back up again in a few more months.
Yep.
What cuts would make good jerky, and what would you do with them?
In my opinion, the best cut to use is off the round, that back leg on a human, your thigh.
How would you cut it so it made good jerky?
So once you get those muscles separated, then just cut them whatever thickness you want. I would cut with the grain to make it stringier, longer.
So you like
stringier.
You like the strands to break off.
Yeah. Years ago when my dad was still alive, because he had false teeth, couldn't chew it, then I would always take and cut some cross grain because that was easier for him to chew. So I made a dad batch.
The dad version.
Yeah, made the dad version.
That's cool.
But the round, that really is the one of choice. Years back, had a taxidermist that as he was doing the mounts, he saved all that neck meat. And if you've ever boned the neck meat out, it's almost kind of layer upon layer.
Right.
And it's a little bit tedious work to separate all that out. And,
more tedious than you can imagine.
Yeah. And, I would always use that for jerky. And I don't know. To me, it just works out better.
Yeah,
just
you told me that story before, and I agree.
Just throw it in the grind at that point and make sticks out of it.
You know, here's a tip, too. If you're doing this meat in your garage, because I know Sobey doesn't process deer.
Well, we'll do, if you have boneless meat, then we'll do jerky
but
or
for the
sticks
most part, nobody are dropping deer off at your doorstep. So if you're the guy like me who got tired of dropping deer off and watching them sit in the sun on somebody's dock for a couple days, you learn to do them yourself.
Yep.
And we're going to have you back in I'd say mid-October, and we want to talk about how to process that carcass, because we do it every year, but I think that's just valuable. I do my own, and you get better every year, but I only do one, maybe two if I'm lucky. But I think if you're the guy who processes his own meat, you've got a better chance to pull your pieces out for that right jerky.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm sure as heck going to grind the neck up.
Yeah.
If I even keep it.
And for an average guy, you're never going to get good at anything if you don't do it the first time and then the second time, right? So for any average guy.
And that's me. I'm just average at it.
Yep. Me too. Just not fast, not slow, half-assed. And just that part of it, if you bone out your own, your first $100 of whatever you turn it into is free.
Do you ever think about like going on tour and just doing stand-up? Hey, even if you don't want to go buy his meat, just go down there and listen to this guy. He has a nut bag.
You are what you eat. No, wait a minute. That's not it.
You are a nut bag. back to the jerky. So what I was going to say also is when you process an animal, just like when I do a whole bunch of brisket, and I notice your counters are that way in your shop, you should have a work surface that's higher.
Most definitely.
What you don't want to be doing is bending over that fold-out table you got. But let's say you got the white fold-out table from the department store. that Walmart happens to sell these things called bed risers. And they're to raise your bed up, obviously, about 6 or 8 inches. Get a pack of those and put them under your table legs when you're going to process that animal or those brisket or those butts, because after hours and hours and hours of handling meat, your back is going to be really messed up.
You're killing.
Yeah.
And as I say, you know, just being an old slow Pollock, just a half a little bit of common sense. That's what we did with our cutting bench in the garage when before we got our shop started, is I just put thick blocks under the legs, raised it up. And yeah, that makes a world of difference, because easily, if it's too far down for you, you can take the first 20 minutes. Now, you know, my back is killing me in 20, 30
yeah.
minutes.
Yeah.
And when we were doing deer, you know, and now you're talking about doing, you know, 6, 12 hours at a time. Yeah.
My buddy Kirk Taylor, who runs Cinderella, which is a big distributor for pool products, I went into his office the other day. He'll be at that Crossroads Festival. He's just an old classmate. And he took his desk and he built these, I don't know, 3 foot, 2 foot legs on his desk so he can walk up to his desk and just stand and work for the same reason.
Yep.
Because he doesn't want to sit down and hump over a desk. He wants to stand up and just work right there. A place to rest your arms. You never stay at your desk. Most of us don't stay at our desk long enough anyway. I'd like to do that in my office. But it's all with the process of processing this meat. My point is, Walmart can bail you out with bed risers. But if you're going to process a deer, for crying out loud, get that table up in the air at least 6 to 10 inches, and your back will thank you.
So either
sorry about that bunny trail. That was a long one.
No, that's okay. But either A, bring the legs up on that table. The other thing, most countertops are what, 36
yep,
inches?
36.
And then let's say you get that piece of poly and you have that shorter table, you could make your own little stand. So imagine, you know, if you had like a tray that was on your lap. So a couple legs, you know, with wood on the side, on the bottom. So you're taking that piece of poly, you can screw into that and raise your cutting surface up on a table.
Yeah.
So if you had that low table, so it'd be another way to go.
Yeah.
Now it's something, you know, you jerry-rig it up a little bit. You could use it on the bed of your truck. You know, you bring it in the field with you.
Right.
That poly washes up, sanitizes nice.
Yeah.
Bring it along with you.
He's talking about the white cutting boards.
Yep.
Now, I've noticed, like, especially when I do barbecue, when I do briskets and butts, I'm always using something with a lot of paprika, right?
Yep.
I use Billy Bones. I get it at your shop. Billy yep. was a friend of mine, and rest in peace. But those white boards end up with that red stain in them and all the stuff you're processing. What can you do to clean up a white poly board?
Biggest thing.
Sand it?
You could sand it. Otherwise, you could take just regular bleach, the chlorine bleach, put it on there, and then take either like towels, if you have whitened towels, and lay those on top. But another trick that we'll use in the shop, take those, dump your bleach on there, and take like Saran wrap and lay it over the top. That traps that bleach onto there. Leave
so
them overnight.
Evaporate. Okay.
Leave them overnight and make sure you clean them up really good.
I still think I need to take some, because I have a bunch of those big white boards a friend
yep.
made, and I still think it's about time to start sanding them down, because they just get kind of cut up and rough after a
yeah,
while.
Yeah, guys used to, there used to be somebody who would come around town for us meat markets.
And resurface
and,
them?
Yeah, they just basically just run through a planer.
Okay.
And they'd
so
take
I
a layer
my
off.
So I guess my thinking is pretty close.
You're spot on,
okay.
yeah.
Okay. Mm-hmm. All right, well, I was right about one thing today. My day is done. It's the Grilling Guys. We'll be right back.
Hi, this is Shasta with Old World Olive Company. I want to personally invite you to visit one of our tasting rooms and sample any one of our certified extra virgin olive oils or aged balsamic vinegars. My knowledgeable staff can show you hundreds of pairing combinations. We also offer seasonings, tapenades, and specialty wines to complete your meal. So please, step into my kitchen and make a lasting memory of your own. Or you can visit us at theoldworldoliveco.com.
Fenn Valley Vineyards, located on the shores of Lake Michigan in Fennville, Michigan, 45 minutes south of Grand Rapids. It's one of the most beautiful, most picturesque vineyards in North America. This family's been making wine for over 40 years. You have to bring your friends and family to the tasting room and experience pure Michigan wine, Fen Valley Vineyards.
Today's man law. Man law number 11. No man shall ever use a rolling backpack. If you can't carry the bag, you're not a man. Man law.
True story.
Jim, when you were a flight attendant, did you? Anyway, you were telling a story about, here's another thing. This is just really good stuff. And if you don't like it, I was going to apologize, but I'm not going to. This is maintenance stuff. Guys, dads have to do all the maintenance stuff, right?
Yep.
I mean, goodness sakes, I don't want to get off on a rant. But we have to take care of all kinds of stuff. I'm fixing my pool right now. I'm fixing my mule. There's a rap song coming. I can hear it. I got to build some shelves for my daughter. I got all these projects. And the last thing I want to do is add another one, but those white cutting boards are a problem. Coolers. I buy these beautiful Igloo 5-day coolers.
Yeah.
They hold ice for 5 days, I guess is the concept. They really do work nice. I can actually throw butts in them off the smoker, wrapped in foil, go back an entire day later, and they're only 10 degrees cooler.
Isn't that amazing?
It's incredible.
Yeah.
But the problem is the cooler smells. Yeah. And the cooler's dirty. You gave us a tip on a way to clean those up.
Yep. And if there's any moisture trapped in there whatsoever, it's going to mold and mildew.
Right.
So we found this product, and it's made by Comet, and it's not the Comet powder. It's a liquid. And years back, hell, probably over 15 years ago, we were given a sample by one of our guys, and I've used it ever since. So you can take that scurvy cooler that's all moldy and mildew on the inside, spray it real good with this Comet spray, close the lid, leave it for a half an hour, you'll open it up, and you'll think somebody cleaned it already. At that point, just finish washing it out really good. As we were talking about your cutting boards, you get paprika, whatever's on there. That Comet, it'll whiten everything.
This is a liquid.
It's a liquid, yep. It's a liquid spray.
What if you can buy it in the supermarket?
To be honest with you, I haven't been able to find it.
I think it's industrial.
What
if Gordon's has it?
We get it, I think it's from Cisco is who we get it from. I've never seen it on the shelf anywhere.
When you were a kid, do you remember the Comet song? Comet, it'll make your teeth turn green, Comet. So get some Comet and vomit today. Did you sing that when you were a kid? I'm really dating myself. Nobody else will date me. Okay. I had to take some Percodin. Well, that's a great tip. Because I use these 5-day Igloo coolers, and they're fantastic. And like my wife just took off on another trip, and she opened up the coolers, and whoever used them last, the kids borrow all our stuff. You don't know who's. When I do all this stuff, I bleach it and put it away.
Yep.
So I don't know who had it, but it was looking kind of stained and, you know, not moldy or anything.
Yep.
But still, like, she's going up with her girlfriends on Lake Michigan. It's got to look perfect. So I did the thing I always do, and I get the 409, and then I get the Clorox, and I double spray them, and I let them set, and then I scrub them down, rinse them out, and they look beautiful. But you're saying there's a liquid Comet that'll do the same thing.
And if anybody comes in and say, hey, I heard on the Grilling Guys, I can get a bottle of, you know, that liquid Comet from you, say you heard it, we'll get a special price for you. Even
on
the outside.
Are you going to start selling it?
Well, I will now.
Why wouldn't you?
Yeah.
How big are the bottles?
It's about a quart size, 24.
Oh, my goodness.
So, yeah.
By all means.
Yeah, they're not industrial strength.
That's a great thing for Sobey Meats. Gosh, Tim Sobey, and, of course, your better half didn't come, which was smart of her. Somebody's got to run that place. Sobey Meats, they're on Remembrance Avenue right near Leonard on the northwest side of Grand Rapids, Michigan. Remember, the west side's the best side. This is the Kielbasa King of Michigan and soon the world. Thanks for joining us, and can't wait to talk to you next week. See ya!